When a contractor builds a house, after they lay the foundation, they frame it out, okay? And so if it's stick built, they frame it out. And then everything flows out of that. When you get into upper levels of school, teachers are often going to give you assignments, maybe to write a paper. My daughter is in college right now, and they ask her to write papers, and they give her a rubric, kind of what, here's what I'm looking for. It serves as a framework. Well, this week, we had a framework known as the 7 C's of history. So we're going to have to teach them what those 7 C's were about. You sang about it, but we're going to help them understand what they are, okay? So I'm going to grab some notes, come on down with you, and let's see what we got. All right, so you all know, obviously you know, what's the first C? I don't think they heard you in the back. Try again. Did you hear that? So what's the first C, adults? Excellent. Creation. So that's where we start. And we started there because a lot of times in our world, you're going to hear that you're an accident. You got here by chance. You just kind of evolved from goo to you via the zoo. But the Bible says something different. Who remembers our key verse? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, God made everything that is. And the Bible confirms this again and again. Take a look up there. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." In other words, when you look up at the heavens and you see all the stars and the planets, everything, you go, wow, that didn't just happen. You know, it's sort of like having all these Scrabble letters, and I dump them out, I didn't form a dictionary, did I? No. No, because it takes intelligent design to make things like this. It didn't just happen. God made it. And it says over in the book of Romans in the New Testament that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So the people without excuse. See, when we look at our universe, we look at our world, we see order. We see that God has laws that he created. We see that the earth is just the right distance from the sun. If we were closer, goodbye oceans, they'd boil off. Any further away, you'd be ice skating across to Europe. We're in just the right place so we can have life. And it's all, so many things like that, that there's actually a scientists that are starting to realize. Here's one guy who said this. He's a scientist. He said, the more we get to know about our universe, the more the hypothesis that there is a creator gains in credibility as a best explanation of why we're here. See, the Bible that we trust tells us God made us, and science is figuring out God was right. And so when God made this perfect world, he made you special. He gave you value. He gave you purpose. You're not just floating through life without a clue. God made you, and it was absolutely perfect. So what does it mean that we have a perfect world? When God first started, that means there was no disease.
There was no sickness.
No sickness. There was no evil. There was no sin, no death. It was a perfect, perfect world. But it didn't stay perfect, did it? Sin came into the world. You know what happened? Yeah. See our little trap here? Yeah. Adam and Eve took the bait. And you know what happened? They got trapped in sin and death. Yeah, she's coming over there now. It's okay. That's the last one. Hey, do you remember the scary time when I came up and all of a sudden I went, "Pah!" That was fun too. All right. So, but Adam and Eve ended up being trapped. And so there were two C's that we did together. What was C number two? We had creation. What was number two? Corruption. And what was after corruption? Catastrophe. All right. There they are. That's it. You're right. And so we looked at that, and we looked at the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, it affected everything in our world. It made sickness possible. It made natural disasters possible. It made death possible. It was corruption. What God made ended up becoming bad. Now, after that, in fact, do you remember the theme verse? Let's see if we can do this one. Psalm 14:3. I'll start the first part. You repeat me. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt.
We have together become corrupt.
There is no one who does good.
Not even one.
Because what we learned is that all have sinned. Every one of us has missed the mark and come short of the glory of God. Now, after Adam and Eve fell, they started having kids. Lots of kids. And lots of kids. Until we got the world filled with lots and lots of people. The problem is they weren't doing what God wanted. And as a result, God says, I'm going to bring judgment. Except for one family. Family's name? Noah. You're right. It's Noah. Noah and his family, 8 people. And what else was in the ark besides Noah?
Animals.
Yes. And God protected them, but the world was destroyed by a worldwide flood, a catastrophe. Now, do you remember that when that catastrophe hit, everything started going crazy? We had water coming down from heaven and water coming up from the ground. We had continents moving. We had a mess. We even had, if I can get this out, we had volcanoes. And I ran out. Okay. Let's see if I can help it a little bit. Whoa! And we have volcanoes. And then when the volcanoes came, they put all kinds of dust in the air. And so the sun's light couldn't come through. So then we had an ice age that followed. And everything that we see in our world today, because of creation, corruption, catastrophe, at least these first three, can be explained from the Bible and seen historically, right? But after Noah's flood, God said to Noah and his family, I'm not going to do this anymore. And he put some sign in the sky. What was it? A rainbow. Yep. And then God said to them, I want you to multiply. In other words, have lots of kids. And spread out. And you know what they did? They didn't spread out, did they? They stayed in one place and they said, we're going to build. They sinned. And they said, we're going to build a tower. Remember we built those towers? We showed it on the screen. You made these tall towers and I shook it and it fell down. Yeah, Babel. You're right. Well, let's read that verse. You're good. Let's read that verse. Well, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, it talks about the flood and it talks about the Tower of Babel. But they built something like this. Remember how we showed you that it's a ziggurat. And they're found all over the world. And they think they found the one that had the foundation that is in Genesis. 90 feet by 90 feet. And they built a tower to reach to heaven because they said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. In a sense, they wanted to be like God, right? So that takes us through to here. And what happened when they started building the tower? What did God choose to do? He came down and he said, confusion. Next one up. We're going to skip a couple. Confusion. Parlez-vous français? Comment ça? Shalom, Ashamcha, Avidazain, Hasta la vista. They didn't understand each other. Sayonara, you know, they just didn't understand each other anymore. So we said that was where not only did they get their languages, but they also began to separate and become different colors. And I'll show you. Remember we did this? Noah's family. So Noah's sons shared. Yep, Noah's sons shared their dad's mom's DNA, but Noah's sons married other people with different DNA.
Now
Purple. Now, here's what's going to happen. God separates them. At this point, this can become red, yellow. This is orange, yellow, red. Those are the colors they're going to start over time until it becomes very common within that group. This group can either be blue, red, or purple. So they're not going to have the same colors. And so that's why in our world we have people with different colors, but they're all traced back to the same original. See, there aren't multiple races. There's just the human race that God made, and we learned that confusion. But you know, we got to keep going because we didn't stop at confusion, did we? We had a few more C's. Does anyone remember the next two C's?
Christ
and the cross. Christ and the cross. And the reason Jesus had to come is because we couldn't get unstuck. We were trapped. We couldn't get out of this trap. It took Jesus, God's Son, to offer a perfect sacrifice for our sin. And he died on the cross, and the Bible says that there is salvation found no one else. No other name given. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says there's only one mediator. There's one God, and there's one mediator. That is one person that can make the difference for us. Remember? Yeah. Are you making a cross? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So God made a way for you and for me. Remember our key verse? Let's take a peek at John 1:12. Go ahead. But to all who did receive him, see if you can repeat it with me. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's what we shared with you this week, that Jesus died on the cross for you and for me and for everybody, that we are called to trust him and put our faith in him. Yep. Now, there's one more C. Anyone know what the other C is? I'm not sure that's it, but go ahead, take a peek. Consummation, which means the end. The thing is, God didn't just come to save you, Samson, or Maya. God didn't just come to save you, Faith and Joey and Jackson. He came to redeem everything. Because when Adam and Eve blew it, they brought sin to the entire world and a curse on the world. Guys, remember this one? Let's see, I'm hoping this works, because this would be an awful end to my consummation here if I can't create a new heavens and a new earth. So let's see what happens. He's royalty, and he creates something brand new. And this Bible says in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. Now the dwelling of God is with people, and he's going to live with them. God is going to move into the neighborhood with us permanently. That we get a new heavens and a new earth. That we get to become God's people. See, look at verse 5. I am making everything. Everything new. So, can you give me 7 C's? They need to know. First C. Why don't you stand up and look back there and see if they hear you. Ready? First C, tell them.
Creation.
Second C.
Corruption.
Third C.
Catastrophe.
Fourth C. Fifth C. Sixth C. And the last C, consummation celebration. All right, do you think we can do it again for them?
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to ask for your help. And I'm going to let you do something we don't normally do in here. I'm going to let you run through the sanctuary to go tell everybody. Are you ready? When I'm going to shout the word out, and you're going to run and say that word, and then the next word. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Creation, go, tell everybody, creation. Tell them corruption. Tell them catastrophe. Tell them confusion. Because that's the way I am right now. Tell them Christ. Tell them the cross. And tell them the good ending is consummation. And celebration. New heavens and new earth. Hey, how about a round of applause for our helpers today? Okay, you can go back to your seats, guys. Thank you. So you guys can go ahead and head back anytime. So we wanted our children to have a framework. Just like a house, we wanted them to have a framework to think of history. Because history is his story. It's the story about God redeeming us and bringing us back into relationship with him. And I want all of you to know, those who are here in the sanctuary and those watching online, that isn't just a kid's story. The gospel is for everyone. Yesterday we had a funeral here, and we had people from all walks of life that were here for this funeral, maybe 150 people or so. And we're able to share the gospel that the Bible, when you look at Acts 17, it says, from one blood, God created all the nations of the world. That there is an inclusive humanity, that God made every human being, and they have value and worth, not based on their performance, not based upon someone's approval, but because God made them. And God didn't just make the children, God made all of you. And that you have value, you have destiny, you have worth. And my heart is to see you step into all that God has for you. Don't just exist through life as if there is an accident, an evolutionary, you're here. Instead, understand God created you in his image and his likeness, and he did it for a purpose. And we want you to find that purpose. But you can't find that apart from him. It's only through Jesus Christ that we find the true reason we're here. Otherwise, we're staying trapped in our sin. So we looked at an inclusive humanity, and we looked at an inclusive fall, that it wasn't just Adam and Eve, but Adam and Eve fell, and it affected everything in God's universe. Everything became tainted and corrupted. But there's a universal gospel. The gospel isn't a white person's gospel, a black person's gospel, a brown person's gospel, a kid's gospel. It is a universal gospel available to anybody who would put their faith in Jesus Christ, who would confess him as Lord. Lord, please come into my life. And that's what we share with our kids. And that's what I share with you this morning. We don't want anyone to miss out on the gift of eternal life provided through Jesus Christ, the destiny he has for you here, and the eternal glory we have with him in a new heavens and a new earth.